We're holding on Iron Chest on the bid. Is that a mission? That was previously. Okay, you're an archivist about these things, about what can be possible and what can't. All right. So we are holding, again, Iron Chest on the bid. Is that a mission? Mishnah says, Gam Tumim Medam Balim, when he had blood of animals that were Tumim, that were the carbonists that were tumim, mixed with blood of Balim Mumim, meaning all in one container, Yishofach La'ama, then you pour them out into the Amma. That we had something similar in the previous Mishnah, where they were mixed up with blood of Tumim, and the idea was, we said over there that everybody agreed that we said at the end of the previous Gemara, we said that we had a machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim concerning the case where it was mixed with with blood with damatamsi, where Rabbi Eliezer is mashir, because we had two explanations. One is that Rabbi Eliezer says we don't make gzera, and the Chachamim say we do. Or the Papa says the question is whether damatamsi is likely to be more than dama nefesh. Here we're talking about blood of bali mumin. It's a common enough thing that even so Rabbi Zvid can go with what he was saying before, that we make a gzera. According to him, actually, in that case, Rabbi Eliezer presumably would disagree in this case also. But like the Gemara said at the end of the previous piece, that's questionable because we don't see Rabbi Eliezer arguing about it. According to the Papa, we make a zera anytime that it's a common enough situation, and it's common enough that there could be bali mumen over there. That they check the carbon and they discover that it had a mumen.
So therefore, we make a zera.
That you might end up, as your Papa had said previously, you might end up that you have more blood of Balim Mumin in the container than you have blood of Sherim, and therefore that would be mevapalit, and therefore we're not going to allow it to be sprinkled. Hey, what about kois for koisis? What about if they weren't mixed?
So that's
what we're saying. So everybody would agree. Everybody would agree on this. It's a Sam Mishnah that we're saying everybody would agree. You shofach la'ama, you pour it into the Amma. Okay. Kois for koisis. What happens? Well, that's the point. Even if you had less blood of Balin Mumin and you had blood of Sherim, nevertheless, we're making this Zera and we're still going to go ahead and pass all the whole thing. Because people will think, what if they would end up doing the same thing, because they're the way around, right? Or Tosfos talked about at the end of the previous Gemara that the Zera rather is that people might go and sprinkle it all by itself without even any kosher of blood being mixed in with it. They might go and sprinkle blood of a balm. Okay.
They can't
sprinkle. They're kind. What do you mean? They're kind. Yeah, we're talking about kind. They're kind. They might make a mistake. There is, but nevertheless, that's the point. So it was Vidin said that Rabbi Eliezer would say that, no, you don't make it. That's the problem. Okay. Case for case. What about another case? What if it wasn't, they weren't mixed up in one container, but you had different containers, different cups, or different basins full of blood, some from Tumim and some from Bali Mormon, and we don't know which are which. Rabbi Eliezer says, similar to what he said in earlier Mishnayos about pieces of Korbanos that got mixed up, Im Korav Kois Echad Yikruvu Kol HaKoses, if one cup was already sprinkled on the Mizbeach, then you can sprinkle the other ones, because as we had previously, we can assume we have room to be toiler to assume that the first one that was sprinkled was the possible one, and therefore that the rest of them are kosher. Some say no. I feel just like they said with the Evarim. I feel a korva kolam chutz me'echad mehem. It's the opposite. Even if all of them have already been offered and there's only one left, and then you realize that there's a problem, you shofach la'ama, you pour that one into the ama because that one might be the possible.
Much more if it's just one off,
right?
All the rest.
Right. So we'll see in the Gemara why the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer have to repeat their machlokas regarding Evarim and regarding blood. We'll get that. Okay.
Right.
How about it? Fine. Now another case. Now forget about blood of Psulim. What about blood of different Korbanos that are all kosher, but they have to be put on the Mizbeach in different places? And it's Tumim L'mata Shenis Arum and Tumim L'mayla. What if you have blood from Korbanos that are supposed to go on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, most Korbanos, is mixed up with blood that goes on the top half, namely Chatas. So what do you
have?
We talked about similar things before. We didn't actually get into this particular case. We did, now, we did have earlier in the Masechta, we did have a case where the blood was placed on the wrong part of the Mizeach, where we had Shmuel saying that the korban is kosher, you just can't eat it. But here we're talking about... So Rabbi Eliezer says, you go and do all of the applications of blood on the top half of the Mizeach. As far as that there's mixed in there blood that was supposed to go on the bottom half, we consider that blood as if it was water, as Rabbi Eliezer had said in earlier Mishnayot about considering pieces of carbonus like wood. So over here you can consider the blood that's not supposed to go there as if it was water, meaning therefore there's no issue I'm putting it on the deck. The yaksa v'yitzin l'masa, then you go and put some of the blood on the bottom half of the mizeach. The pashtus, that would mean, so that would, the pashtus, the idea is that way you're covered for the chatas and for the oila. As we'll see in the Gemara, that's not so simple, but that's on the face of it, that's what Rabbi Eliezer means. Yeah. The reason, by the way, why you would do the ones on top first, Rashi mentioned, is because when we get to the next parak and we talk about the dinim, there were two parakim from now, rather, when we get to the dinim of kol ha-todir ma-chaverev, which korban comes ahead of which one, we say chatois always come before oila. So therefore, over here, you have to do on the top half to take care of the chatas before you do the bottom half to take care of the oila. Okay, that's Rabbi Eliezer. The chum say, no, you shop it for amma, pour it into the amma, because none of this royin business. So you can't take blood of a carbon that was supposed to go on the bottom half and put it on the top half in an effort to be matched with the chatas. You can't do that. However, the imla nimlach the nosan, but if he didn't ask and he went ahead and did like that, and he did on the top half, if you have it kosher, then it's kosher, because after all, this whole concept that the Chachamim are saying don't do it, it is there, and b'diavad, then therefore the korban is kosher. Okay. Now another case. And it's turning
as a genetic
itself. Well, one nimlach means that he didn't act and went ahead and did it. He thought on his own, you know what, there's blood of chatas and blood of oila mixed in over here, so let me do one and let me do the other. So kosher b'diavad. Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. Show you maybe the passion. Now let's take some other cases. Let's say you have blood of a korban that's supposed to be applied with one application to the mizeach, for example, the blood of a bechor, that was mixed up with other blood that's also supposed to go one time on the mizeach, such as mice behemoth. And then Rashi points out it doesn't matter whether they're mixed in, as in they're in the same container, or whether we're talking about different containers and we lost track which one is which. No problem, you nost them with one achas. No problem, do them with one application. Now, we're going to see in the Gemara that is also not so simple, because we have two different ways of looking at it. We're going to get into the Gemara into the whole issue called Yesh Bila or Ein Bila, which we talked about briefly the other day. When you have two liquids mixed together, do we assume la halacha that they've evenly mixed? Or not necessarily. Could there be that it hasn't yet had, that it hasn't evenly mixed, and that there might be more of one liquid in one place than the other? But then that's going to affect this discussion over here. If we're saying that you do one matana from this combined blood, in the case where it's all in one, where it's one container combining it from the bechor and the maaser, that has to mean that yesh bila, that would only work if we hold yesh bila, and therefore that the bloods are evenly mixed, such that we'll have in that one matana, there'll be some blood of one and some of the other. If we say ein bila, then we have a problem. So that's
how many do we do then?
Well, that's what we have to figure out. That's what we're going to see in the Gemara. Okay. Mehen, I don't know why mehen is in parenthesis over here, and the Shishmuk Abbasis takes it out, it doesn't really make sense over here. Matan Abba v'matan Abba. What happens similarly if you have korbanos that are supposed to be applied four times to the mizeach are mixed up with other korbanos that are supposed to be applied four times? By four times you mean shtei matanos shein Abba. So for example, oila with shlomim or with asham, so all of them have to be applied in the same way to the mizeach. Same thing, you nosim v'matan Abba. Same idea. Then you do matan Abba. You do two applications on the two opposite corners. Shtei matanos shein Abba, and you're covered. And there, we don't really have to deal so much with the bila or with the yesh bila or ein bila business, because we learned earlier in the Masechta that the yevet, if you with any carbon, if you only do it one time on the mizeach, the yevet is kosher. So like this,
you need the blood of two matanas mixed in the blood of one matana.
Well, that's the thing over here. If we're saying over here, let's take, for example, an Ola and a Shlomim, we're saying that what you can do is, so fine, you take the mixed blood and you do one over here and one over here. On the face of it, it might not matter if yesh vila or ain vila, because either way, it will have gotten at least one time onto the mizbeach, either here or here. However, that's also not so simple, because what if there's a possibility? What if you did some of the blood over here, and let's say it so happened that it came all from one carbon, and then you did it over here, and also it so happened that all the blood that splashed out came from one carbon, and therefore you end up the other carbon, none of the blood of it got on the mizbeach at all. So for that reason, later on in the study, well, it's not very likely, and in fact, yes, some of the folks say that, therefore, maybe you don't have to worry about it. Rashi, later on in the Sylvia, says, therefore, and it seems to be because of this, that what you have to do in order to take care of that problem, you have to make sure that you did all of the blood in the basin. Between the two corners, you would have to do all the blood. That way, no matter what, you're covered. Even if you had Maxwell's demons sitting in there and then separating out the molecules of one versus the other, and so happened that on one corner it ended up all from one carbon, no problem. On the other corner it ended up all from the other carbon. And yeah, but that's okay, because we said it earlier, we said that it's kosher with one time. Okay. Now, the complication comes in. Matan Arab Masana Akas. What happened if you have blood of a carbon that was supposed to go one time on the Mizbeach and blood of a carbon that's supposed to go four times on the Mizbeach? And here again, we're not talking about four times as in the Chasas, which is the top half. That we already dealt with before, top versus bottom half. Here we're talking about it's all on the bottom half. Again, Arab over here being Shtema Tana Strain Arba. And Shtema Tana Strain Arba. But you have, let's say, blood of a Bechor mixed with blood of a Shlom. So what are you supposed to do? Do you do it one time? Bechor is one time. Shlomim is Shtema Tana Strain. No, one time the Syrian says someplace on the wall of the Mizbeach. The German Ton Matona Achat or Vaji is in Kenegadai. So we had a machlokes earlier in the Sechta with some of these carbonates. Is it the Zrika or the Shvicha? We said, is it that you pour it gently or is it that you dash it against the side? But whatever it is, it's one time on the side of the Mizbeach and then it trickles down onto the Yesod. So now, if you have this mixed blood, what do you do? Do you do one time? Do you do one time, or do you do Shema Tana Shein Abba? So then, Rabbi Eliezer Omi Yunosim Matan Abba. Rabbi Eliezer says that you do Matan Abba, you do the Shema Tana Shein Abba, and don't worry about the fact that you're doing extra times more than you're supposed to. Rabbi Yeshua Omi Yunosim Matan Abba. Pay Omidah, that's the middle of Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua says, you do only one matana, and don't worry about the fact that there's also blood in here that was supposed to be done more times. So Rabbi Yehuda says, how could you do that? According to you, that you're doing only one time out of this mixture, then you're over on the Isser of Baltigra. You're over on the Isser not to subtract from the mitzvah. The Torah tells you in the case of the Shlomim that you're supposed to do Shtei Matanas Shtei Naar, right? And you're doing only one matana. You're being over on Bal Tigra. You're being over on not taking away from the mitzvah. On the Lord of Yeshua, so Yeshua answers him. And according to you, how are you over on Bal Tosis? Right. And according to you, you're being over on Bal Tosis. Right. So here you have a korban, here you have a bechor that's only supposed to be done once on the mizbeach, and you're doing two times, shtein atan shtein abba, and therefore you're being over on Bal Tosis. You're laughing, but wait, let's finish the discussion in the Mishnah, and then we'll talk about what the underlying machloi, well, we'll talk about what the Ramban says, what is the underlying machlokas between them, and Bechlal, we'll talk some in the Mishnah today, and some in the Gemara tomorrow, Rez Hashem, we'll talk about the parameters of Bal Tigra and Bal Tosis. When is that Bal Tigra is fairly straightforward, okay, you take away from the Mishnah. When is it considered Bal Tosis and when not? We know that there's a number of things that we do, but no, we're not talking about a max, but we're talking about, in other words, in what cases is doing extra for a mitzvah considered Bal Tosis or not? So wait, let's get through the Mishnah first. Okay. On the Lo Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer says, the difference is, you're asking that if you do it according to my way, then you have a problem of Bal Tosis. So Rabbi Eliezer says, no, Lo Yinem Bal Tosis Elektroba Asmon. No, Bal Tosis is only when you have, when it's all by itself. If you have blood of a Bechor all by itself, which is only supposed to be put one time on the Mizbeach, and you were to do Shtei Matanas, or more, then that would be Bal Tosis. But over here, that would be, says Rabbi Eliezer. But over here, where you're not doing it because You're not doing it. It's not all by itself. You're doing it because you have other blood mixed into it here. So fine. So we'll consider, as Rabbi Eliezer said in the Mishnah before, we can consider the extra matanot to be as if they were water. Which water, there's no issue to sprinkle on the zayach as much as you want. The same as yoyin. That's what he said before. The same way as he said before about pieces of korbanah, so you can consider them like asim. In fact, Tosa says that when Rabbi Eliezer pointed out Bal Tigra, and Rabbi Yeshua says to him, yeah, but Bal Tosif, Rabbi Eliezer knows that those two things are back-to-back in the process. Why didn't he think of that himself? The reason is because Rabbi Eliezer holds this concept of Royin, so therefore he figured that as far as I'm concerned, so when he says, Loyamu Bal Tosif, Alatruba Asnoi, effectively what Tosif is saying is, he's answering, fine, you, Rabbi Yeshua, don't accept the concept of Royin, but... So for you, I'll have to give the answer that Bal Tosif only applies when it's by itself. Me, I don't have a problem with it anyway, because Lo Yinois Tekila Umayim. Okay. Almalo Rabbi Yeshua, so Rabbi Yeshua says, well, by the same logic, Lo Yinamer Bal Tigra, the same logic then, Bal Tigra only applies when it's by itself. If you had a shlomim, and you deliberately only did it one time, then you'd be over on Bal Tigra. Okay, but the end of the Korban would be kosher, as we said before, but nevertheless, when if you're doing it because it's mixed with a different Korban, and therefore you have it mixed with a different Korban, so therefore Rabbi Yeshua is arguing it's not Bal Tigra. Because you're not doing it for the sake of reducing the number of the mitzvah. You're not doing it in order to take away from the mitzvah. You're doing it because you have a Korban in here, which is only supposed to go one time on the mizbeach. But oid omer Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua says, besides, here's another argument. It's fine. Let's suppose that you're right, Rabbi Eliezer, and one way or the other you're going to have a problem. Either you're going to be over on Bal Tigra, or you're going to be over on Bal Tosif. But, Rabbi Yeshua says, look, Shemasata, if you go ahead and do the extra matanos, not only are Varcha al Bal Tosif, not only you're over on Bal Tosif, according to my logic, but the Asisa Maisa Biyonta, but you actually did an action to do Bal Tosif. You did an extra action. So you did a Maisa that with which you were over on the Issa of Bal Tosif. Shaloi Nafsata, if you don't do the extra one, about our Bal Tigra, fine, let's argue that's Bal Tigra, but at least the Asisa Maisa Biyonta, at least you didn't do a Maisa Biyadayim. The Issa came by itself. Bal Tigra, in other words, would be where you're actually, where you're doing a Maisa, where you're doing less than what you're supposed to do. Let's say, for example, in this case, it's not a Maisa, that's the point. You're only doing one, and then you're passively not doing the second one, says Rabbi Yeshua, and therefore, there's no Maisa, so therefore, better to do it that way. Even if you, Rabbi Eliezer, are going to argue that there's an issue with Bal Tigra over here, okay, but it's a passive Bal Tigra, which is at least better than an active Bal Tosif. Again, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that. Bal Tigra would be because you could, for example, let's say you need to have four stitches. If a person were to wear a garment with only three stitches on it, that would be Bal Tigra. He's doing a Maisa, and then he's over on Bal Tigra.
Making
the tzitzis in and of itself is the mitzvah. Wearing them is the mitzvah. And the truth is, the number of strings midaraisa, there's no specific number of the strings anyway. Well, when we get to in the second menachas, we'll talk about that as shem. But we'll see. The machlokas of shama b'sivol. How many strings you're supposed to have? Relax. We'll get to it. We'll get to it in due time.
That's shem.
Midaraisa. Relax. We'll get to it in menachas. Okay. We'll talk extensively over there. Everything you ever wanted to know about tzitzis will be in that fourth parak of menachas. Okay? So how can you do that? Meanwhile, yeah, take it easy. Okay. Meanwhile, though, the point is, but for sure you need tzitzis on all four corners of a garment, and if you were to wear a garment with only three, that would be an example of Bal Tigra, or if you were to take only three minim on Sukkot instead of four, or you were to wear tefillin that have only three batim or whatever, all those are examples of active Bal Tigra. Here, Rabbi Yeshua is arguing with only passive Bal Tigra, so therefore it's not as bad. The Ramban talks about in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah that the underlying machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua is related to the whole issue of mitzvah tzrichas kavanah. The Gemara discusses over there the question in general, when you do a mitzvah, does it have to be that you specifically were having kavanah to do the mitzvah, or is it that you're yoytze even if you didn't have the mitzvah in mind, but nevertheless the action was done? So you have to be a bar das. So, for example, the Gemara talks about over there, let's say, the Gemara talks about in connection with eating matzah. If a person were to eat matzah during a time when he's crazy, when he's epileptic, let's say, or whatever, then he wouldn't be yoked because he's not a ben das then. But if, let's say, for example, he was forced to eat matzah, or let's say Goyim crammed matzah down his throat, for example, he'd still be yoked. If you think it's the same as Kavanah, he'd still be yoked. So similarly, for example, a person who heard shofar not having specifically in mind to be yoseh, but just happened to hear it, whatever. Anyway, the point is this: the discussion over here also turns on says the Ramban and various Achronim talk the and others talk about more extensively about how it fits in over here. According to what is it? According to Rabbi Eliezer, mitzvah shritas kavan. So therefore. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, fine, when you're doing the second sprinkling, you're not having kavana on behalf of the Bechor, you're only having kavana on behalf of the Shlomim that got mixed in over here. So therefore, the second one that you're doing for the Bechor doesn't count, therefore you don't have a problem about posters. As opposed to Rabbi Yeshua holds, mitzvah ain't drifas kavana. You do have to have, you can't be misactive. You learned earlier in the Sefer, you have to have in mind that you're doing the action. At least it can't be, for example, that let's say you tripped and the blood and then blood spilled. That doesn't work. But you don't specifically have to have in mind in order to fulfill the mitzvah of zikah. You don't specifically have to have in mind of doing it for the korban, as long as you have in mind to do the action itself. So therefore, when he does the action, when he does the second action with the blood of the bechor, he is going to be over on Baal Tosef, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua says you can't do that. Therefore, better to just do it the one time. As a shy of fast tegel, yeah. Oh, no, yeah, because mitzvah tzrichas kavana or ain't tzrichas kavana, but it is possible, of course. A person can be, for example, shechting a korban, having in mind a machshava that's going to pass all the korban, yeah. Here we're talking about the question where he doesn't have anything particular in mind at all, or where he has in mind that if this blood doesn't need to go on the mizbeach, then it should be considered like water. So, according to Rabbi Eliezer, they're fine. As long as you're not specifically having in mind, I'm doing this for the sake of the Bechor, then you're good. According to Rabbi Yeshua, you're still accomplishing the Zrika anyway, even if you don't have that in mind. Okay, so Gemara starts off. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Lehichshir Rabbi Eliezer el Shnayim Shnayim. This that Rabbi Eliezer is saying in the first case of the Mishnah, or the second case actually, where you had cut containers of blood of Tumimim and containers of blood of Balim Mumim were mixed together, one container of Baal, one Mizrach, one basin of blood of Baal Mum was mixed up with a bunch of Mizrachim of Korbanos Tzara Kosher, and Rabbi Eliezer said as long as one of them was already offered on the Mizrach, you can offer the rest of them. So Rabbi Eliezer says that Rabbi Eliezer, the Tanah, is only Masher Ela Shnayim Shnayim. You can only offer them two at a time. Abel Echad Echad Loi, but not one at a time, for the same reasons that we had in Sugyas in the last couple of days, because when you only have one at a time, the fact is, any time you do it, this might be the possible one. At least if you're doing two at a time, there's no, definitely one of them is the kosher one, because there was only one possible one mixed in. You'd have to have the fact that you'd have to have two kainim throwing them at the same time, I guess, yeah. It has to be, yeah, because you can't do avodah with smoil, so yeah, it would have to be two different kohanim doing it at the same time. But yeah, the point being, in other words, that if you only did it one at a time, then that one might be the Baal Mum, and then you're over on the Isser of offering a Baal Mum, of offering the blood of a Baal Mum on the Mizbeach. Whereas if you're doing two at a time, then you know one of them is definitely the good one. That is, one of them is definitely one of the good ones. If you have two, then okay, yes, subject to the machloek, that's subject to the discussion that I was mentioning the other day that Shach talked about in Hilchos Tarovis, in his whole kundris on Hilchos Spekseta over there, would you need three at a time, or do you need four at a time? Okay, but the point is here we're talking about a case where only one was mixed in. Okay, again, the Rambam would understand our Gemara the same way as he understood the previous ones, that it means that Rabbi Eliezer is saying it's kosher only if two of them were offered first, not if only one of them was offered first. So in other words, unlike Rashi, who understands that what it means is Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you had one of them was offered, and then after that you have to do two at a time. The Rambam would understand that it means the other way around. You have to have two of them were done at the beginning, and then after that you can be doing them individually. Yeah, well, we're talking about sprinkling the blood on the mizbeach. So you had one basin of blood from a Baal Mum that was mixed up with a bunch of basins of blood from Tumim. So according to Rashi's explanation, it would be that Rabbi Eliezer would say that if you had one of them was already offered, then you can go ahead and do the other one two at a time, but you have to do them two at a time. You can't do them one at a time.
Consider that one can be the stored one?
Well, that's the thing. No, it actually is saying it's one to Rabbi Eliezer. That's exactly it. The first one could be the stored, the possible one, but therefore, we still, to be on the safe side, we have to do the other ones two at a time so that there's no possibility ever that you're only bringing a possible one at a time. The first one's already done. It's already a done deal. It was done before. It was done maybe even before we found out that there was a problem. As opposed to, according to the Rambam, it would be the other way around. It would mean that two of them had to have been offered first. Then, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, once that was done, then you can do the other ones one at a time.
Sure, the time for the Rambam first?
Yes.
And why is that?
Because then you, once you have two at the beginning, then you have more reason to assume that one of the ones, that one of those two was the possible one.
Then if you do one.
Then if you do one, right.
Okay. And two, you have more reason than two.
Fine, but the minimum is you have to have at least two at another time.
Otherwise,
the Rambam would say even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that's no way. Right. Okay. Most of Rabbini, so Rabbini asks on that. What about, though, our Mishnah says, the Chacham say that even if all of them were offered except for one of them, you pour it into the Amma, which, as we said, again, this is basically the same thing as we had in previous Mishnayot about the Evarim, is that on the face of it, if the Chacham are saying even if only one is left, that means, unlike you, Rabbi Eliezer, who says that even if one is left, then you're okay, we're saying that even if one is left, it's not okay, and you have to pour it into the Amma, meaning that Rabbi Eliezer would say you only need to do them one at a time. It's good enough to do them one at a time. What do you mean two at a time? Otherwise, again, otherwise, why the Chachamim saying something that Rabbi Eliezer himself would agree with? Because if you have one left over, according to the way we have it in the Gemara over here, even according to Rabbi Eliezer's statement, even Rabbi Eliezer would have to agree that last one we have to discard, because if we're master of it by itself, it might be the Baal Mum. So why are the Chachamim saying, even if there's only one left over, which implies you, Rabbi Eliezer, would say it's okay, but we say it's not. According to Rabbi Eliezer's understanding, even Rabbi Eliezer would say it's no good. Amalei Rabbi Yassir, the Rabbi Yimi, Vatachlipa, as for Allah, I will explain it to you, my Echad Zug Echad. The word Echad in our Mishnah over here means Zug Echad, it means one thing. Like we said previously, that it means that the Chachamim are saying even if there's one pair of them, two cups, two basins left over, you still have to pour them into the Amma. If there was one left over, then yeah, the Chacham would say that, but Rabbi Eliezer would also agree to that. That you have to, discard it.
Even two of them, I mean, it's not enough.
Right. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer would say two is still good, because when you master with one of them, when you master with the two of them at the same time, only at least one of them is good.
How many Chacham would you need?
So according to the Chacham, that's it. Once you find out that there's a problem over here, then you've got to discard all of them.
Because
you don't know. You know there's one possible one in there, and you don't know which one it is. Okay, so most of the stricha. So now we have the same machlokas before in connection with Evarim, and now we're having it in connection with, blood, so why repeat it? So most of the stricha. We need the machlokas to be repeated both times. It's my baha, because if we only had it in the case of the Evarim, then you would say baha kam Rabbi Eliezer, then you would say, you know why Rabbi Eliezer says over there, go ahead and be makriv if let's say one of the heads was already offered on the Mizbeach, then you can go ahead and offer, and then you can go and offer the rest of the heads. Fine, mishum di istavid bekaparose, because Rabbi Eliezer would say, after all, the kapara was done when everything was kosher, there wasn't any mixed up with the blood, when the blood was sprinkled on the Mizbeach, it was done completely detached, only afterwards was there a mix-up. So then, Rabbi Eliezer would say, right, well, that's what we mean. In other words, yeah. So therefore, in other words, at the time when they sprinkled the blood, it was still behesher. There was no mixture, either there was no mix-up at all yet, or if there was, it hadn't been discovered yet. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer would say, there you can be lean, maybe, and go ahead and be matched the rest of the head once one of them is out of the picture. Avol baha, but in our case over here, where it involves the actual kapara of the korban, maybe he would agree with the rabbanon, they can't do that, because maybe you can't go and be makriv when it involves the actual kapara of the korban itself, be makriv on this supposition that you're doing two at a time and therefore it'll be okay. Maybe he would agree with the rabbanon that it's no good. On the other hand, if we only had the machlokas in our Mishnah, then you would say the other way around. Baha kamri rabbanon, only in our case with the blood would the rabbanon be makir, because you haven't even done the kapara of the korban before the problem was discovered. There's a sprinkling of the blood. That's what accomplishes the kapara, yeah. Aval baha, but when it comes to the Evarim, aim a modular Rabbi Eliezer, maybe they would agree with Rabbi Eliezer, therefore stricha, therefore we needed both machlokas. To show that Rabbi Eliezer is makel in both cases and the chacham are makir. So now we're going to get into a topic that is going to that's going to relate back to our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah we had now we're moving along to the case we had in our Mishnah the cases involving over here where blood got mixed up, not kosis mixed up with kosis, which is what we were just dealing with, but rather blood getting mixed up with blood, where you have all blood of kosher to korbanos, but you had some blood that was supposed to be matan achas, other that was supposed to be matan achas. What do you do? Matan abba, and then we had eventually the machlokes, when you had one against four, you had the machlokes of Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So now we're going to get into a discussion about the issue of yesh bila or ein bila, which is going to relate to it. Yesh bila means if we have two liquids mixed, can we say that we can assume that they were completely mixed through and through? Or not? Is there any possibility that maybe you have some, you might have some in one part of the mixture, you might have a greater concentration of one, and in the other part you might have a greater concentration of the other? Well, but yeah, I mean, here, for example, in our mission, we're talking about blood and blood. Eventually, of course, given enough time, they'll mix. But the question is, can we assume for purposes of halacha that they are fully mixed or not? And then
you could have a mixture that can heal more quicker than the other.
Well, that may be, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, if blood can deal, then it's possible to be offered on the day. We're not dealing with that. We're eventually it's congealed. That's in Avodah of Yom Kippur, right? They have to have in various places where somebody has to be stirring the blood to prevent it from congealing, because you have a carbonous shechet, and then only a while later is the Avodah with the blood done. Okay. So we're gonna get into this by way of a halacha in connection with paradrum. Tnanha, so we learn in a Mishnah in Parah, Floches Shanachlo Vaseichem Mayim Koshavu, if you have a jug of paradrum water where a little bit of regular water fell into it, so what do you do? Is the paradrum water possible, or can you fix up the situation? Rabbi Yezer says that you should sprinkle two times from this container. In other words, that when a Tomei comes and needs to be sprinkled, instead of normally you would sprinkle one time on him, in this case, says Rebbe, has to sprinkle two times on him.
So
that's what we have to figure out. We're going to have three different ways that the Amoraim are going to have to explain Rebbe Eliezer's shita. Wait. Bachamim Poison, where's Bachamim say it's possible? Here also, that Amram understands the Shtei Hazoros in the same way as he understood it in the previous Mishnayos, that it means that Rabbi Eliezer would say that once you sprinkled two times and then threw them away, then you can go ahead and do future sprinklings from that container. Whereas a Chum would say not, similar to the cases in our Mishnayos where they said they have to pour away the blood or throw out the Evarim or whatever. According to the Chum, yeah, there has to be pure paradum or water, and if not, then it's possible. So let's figure out.
So if rain drops into the fire, then
I'll water. Same thing. Rain drops in.
One drop,
yes, there's a horn of fun, yes. Even in the Mishnah, so they were talking about what if dew falls in. Rabbi Eliezer, I think it is, argues over there that you can leave it out in the sunlight and the dew will evaporate. Come say, still possible. It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, whatever. Anyway. I mean, I mean, like the top layer of water or whatever. Okay, whatever. That's only a coin that would be holding. We're talking about common. We're talking about common or bleh. But wait.
Okay.
No, so that's the point. In other words, actually, Tosfos talks about, over here that the issue over here, when we're saying it's possible, may only be Darabama. Because, yeah, if it was Daraisa, on a Daraisa level, it might well be bubble. But, yeah.
Not one drop in a bucket.
One drop in a bucket would be bubble. One drop of plain water. Because the Rabbanan, for that, we're going to get. Okay. So, Bishlema Rabbanan, I can understand why the Rabbanan say it's possible. Sadri Yesh Bila, because like this, they hold that when you have two liquids mixed together, we have to assume that they're completely mixed. As we found in our Mishnah, because we had the case in our Mishnah where you had blood of a chassas that was mixed, let's say, with blood of an Ola. Where we said that, okay, so Rabbi Eliezer says that you do some of it on top and some of it on bottom, and that way you're covered. The Chum say, l'chatchila, you shouldn't be doing that. But Rabbi Eliezer, if you did that, then it is kosher. That would only work with Yesh Bila. Otherwise, if the Chum Talmud were to say ein bila, you couldn't say necessarily that both korbanos are kosher, because what if it happened that all the blood of one was, what if you had that all the blood of the ola went on top, or all the blood of the chatos went on the bottom? Right. Yeah, so necessarily, therefore, the chum have to hold yesh bila, and they also hold Bazaz Tushashir. We would also say, therefore, in order to explain the Chachamim's opinion here about Parah Adroma, they would say that when you sprinkle Parah Adroma water on a person or on an object, you need a minimum shear of Parah Adroma water to land on there. It's not just enough of one molecule to land there. You need, they would hold. There's a certain minimum shear, and in this case, you don't have, because there could be some of the pulsar water mixed in over there. That's what they would hold. They would hold the Hazal Tuchashir. We talked about the other day briefly. We talked about this concept the other day. Tosfos mentioned over there, everybody agrees there does have to be a minimum shear in the keli before you sprinkle. There has to be enough to be able that when you dip in the azos over there, that it's actually, that it actually goes into the water and not just that you're sprinkling amount. Right. So when you're dipping it in, there has to be a minimum amount. So that's the thing. So the Chachamim hold the sprinkling amount, there's a minimum amount. What that minimum amount is, the Gemara is not clarifying. The Tosfos Yeshanim and Yomim that points out that never does it say any place in Shas what that minimum amount would be. But whatever it is, the Chachamim evidently hold there is some minimum amount, and here you won't necessarily have it, because let's say one milliliter, let's say. Well, if you sprinkle 1 milliliter, but there could be some of the plain water that got mixed in there, and therefore you don't have that amount. What about what Rabbi Yezer is saying, do 2 times? They say that won't work. 2 times, 2 sprinklings are not going to combine together. Yesh bila, they're saying, but you can't say. Once you sprinkled once, and then you're going to sprinkle again, but you can't combine those 2 amounts together to say that constitutes 1 big sprinkling. The fact is it was done by 2 different motions. By 2 different
sprinklings. Even if they were divine, if they both less than 50%, it would amount to the same thing.
Well, here on the face of it, we're talking about kol shehu, just a small amount of water fell in, fine, but nevertheless. No, if we say yesh bila, then it means, right, but in other words, like this, if we were to say, for example, let's say the minimum amount of hazah that you need, let's say, is 1 milliliter. So you were to do 1 hazah, the problem is that you might have that only 9/10 of that milliliter are part of adrama water, and the other 1/10 is, yes. So even, let's say, you would do 2 times, you would say, if each one was 9/10, then fine, between them you have 1.8, that should be more than enough, but the Chum say two hazahs can't combine. Each one was done with a separate motion. So therefore, so we should understand why the Rabbanon would say that, because the hazahs are chashir, the aim is starts on the hazahs, and they would say you can't combine together different sprinklings. So the Chachamim would understand. Ela Rabbi Eliezer, my Chassadah. But we have to ask, what is Rabbi Eliezer? What's his svara to say that it's good once you do 2 hazahs? E kasava ein bila. If Rabbi Yehuda holds ein bila, that not necessarily is the liquid mixed evenly. So therefore, in other words, you could have in one part of it there could be more of a concentration of the plain water, and in another part there could be more of a concentration of part of the water. How does it help to do 2 hazois? Maybe both of them he's doing from the plain water, not from the part of the water, and therefore no good. Ela kasava yesh bila. So obviously, okay, we have to say that Rabbi Eliezer must agree with the Chachamim on the underlying idea of yesh bila. That's fine, it mixed evenly. But then the question is, why does he say you need 2 hazahs? E kasava ein hazahs to hashir. If he holds there's no minimum amount for hazah, as long as even 1 molecule of the water gone onto the person or the keli, then it's tar. Lomali shtei hazahs, then why do you need to do 2 hazahs? No matter, we only had a small amount of possible water get in over there. So when you do 1 hazah, if you say yesh bila, inevitably you're going to have at least 1 molecule of adrama water in there.
So that's
it. Right. Ela hazah. So evidently, okay, we have to say that Rabbi Eliezer would agree with the Chachamim that hazah to hashir. But again, now we have to work on the third factor. Whatever the shear is, again, let's say 1 milliliter or whatever, we don't know. Again, Tosfos Yeshanim says we don't know what that actual shear is, but whatever, there is some minimum shear. Let's say he agrees with the Chachamim on that point also. But now let's work on the third factor. The ikasava in the star from hazois. Now, if he were to agree with the Chachamim that different hazois can't combine together because they were done with different motions, Well, then Kimaz Shtei Hazoris my hobby. Then he should agree with the Chachamim. Two Hazoris are not going to help, because even though between the two of them you definitely have enough to be to constitute one amount for Hazor, but they wouldn't combine because they came from different Hazoris. The Inami Nitzkar from Hazoris, but actually then we have to ask further on Rabbi Eliezer. So even if you were to say that he holds that to that two Hazoris that two Hazoris can combine, the question still is, who says we're going to have a full shear? What if it wasn't? We assumed that, let's say, for example, in each hazar, you're going to have over 50% of paradrama water. So therefore, he's saying that the two of them together can combine. But how do you know that? What if you have in each of these two hazars, what if you have 60% of the regular water? And then even between the two of them, then you don't have enough for one hazar. So what is Rabbi Eliezer hold? So we have three explanations. Amar Rish Lakish, La'olam Yesh Bila. So explanation number one, Rish Lakish says, yes, Rabbi Eliezer holds Yesh Bila, as we assumed. Because we said if he holds Ein Bila, then two hazars wouldn't help, because each one of them conceivably could be 100% plain water. And we see it also from our Mishnah, because we had, again, in the case of the chassas and the oil of blood that were mixed together, where Rabbi Eliezer says, do it on the top half of the mizbeach, and then do it on the bottom half, and we assume that works for both korbanos, so because they got evenly mixed, so therefore you ended up, some of the blood of the chassas went on top, and some of the blood of the oil went on bottom, and therefore you're good. So Rish Lakish is saying, Rabbi Eliezer will say that yesh bila, that they do perfectly mix, will also suppose that Rabbi Eliezer holds that there is a minimum amount for Hazar. You don't just say as long as one molecule, you do have to have an actual minimum amount, let's say 1 milliliter. But you were thinking that the case is, we're talking about that just as a small amount of water got mixed in there. No, what we're talking about is that that the amount that got mixed in is at least a sheer Hazar. You have a sheer hazar, you have this minimum amount, let's say 1 milliliter of paradrama water and 1 milliliter of plain water got mixed together. But that's the point. Therefore, if you do two hazars, you only had in there enough for one hazar. You only had 1 milliliter of possible water in there. Therefore, when you do two hazars, inevitably between the two hazars, you're going to have one. Then you're going to have enough.
If they consider them additive.
Well, that's
what happens if they land in two different spots?
Yes, Bila. If they land in two
different
spots on a person? Apparently that's not a problem. I mean, even if we say yes, Shir Laza, doesn't necessarily mean that whole Shir has to land in one place. Pashtus, it could be that one half of it lands in one place and the other half of it lands in another place.
No,
that's the point. You know, we might suppose that the shear is that if we say yes shear lahazar, that it's kosher even if that shear is split up between different places on the person's body, as long as they both landed on it. If not, then okay, it would mean
you're saying as long as they land on the body, let's say
Charlie
doesn't land.
If some of it doesn't land on his body, then you have to be careful. You have to aim properly. But we're talking about as long as it lands somewhere on him, then we're good.
You have enough to land on. That's the point.
What do you mean? How do you know? That's the point. You had one milliliter, 1 cc of paradrama water, another one of plain water got mixed together. What Rabbi Eliezer is saying is we'll do two hazards, and no matter what, one way or the other, you have one cc of paradrama water has landed on it. You're going to have a half of it over here and a half of it over here. It doesn't matter as long as it all landed on it. As long as
you mean every drop falls
off. Okay, well then you'll have to aim properly, you know what I mean? Yeah. Yes, if I remember correctly, yes. The lock of eyes of a top of a mind. I don't remember actually if it has to be a Korean specifically who does it or anything. Yeah. Right. I actually don't remember whether paradrama water specifically has to be sprinkled by a Korean or not. But okay, anyway. The point is, therefore, Rish Lakish says, so that explains Rabbi Eliezer's position. Once you do two hazards, then inevitably you're good. Rashi points out, of course, if you had more kosher water, all the better. But, yeah. The Shitim Kubetis talks about it at some length about the possibility that maybe over here achas, the achas means even we're talking about larger amounts. We mean not just the shiur hazah of the part, but we're talking percentage-wise, 50-50. In other words, that we're talking about, you had let's say, a gallon of kodah aduma water, and in case there fell a gallon of regular water, let's say. The Shitim Kubetis talks about the possibility that he brings from his Rebbe, that maybe it means that. Again, if we say yesh bila, then it would mean that every cubic centimeter that you take out of it to sprinkle is going to be half of one and half of the other. Well, that may be, yes. Okay. Fine. So that's the Rosh Lachish's understanding. Rava Amar, Rava says, here's a second explanation. La'olam yeshbila. Fine. Let's accept that Rav Eliezer says yeshbila, as we established before. On the other hand, we're going to say differently than Rosh Lachish, v'hazah ein tzrichashi. According to Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to say there's no minimum amount for hazah. So why do you need to do two hazahs? Regardless, even if you only did one hazah, at least one molecule of pot adrum of water has gotten on him, therefore he should be tar. It should be enough. Right. Uknasa, the concert Rabbana. What it is Rabbi says, the Chachamim made him a knas. Because you don't want him to benefit, you don't want him to go and figure, you know what, I don't have enough paradrama water, so I'm going to go pour in some plain water, and then all I have to do, and then I can just do one hazah and yeshvila, and assume that it's good. We don't want him to do it, so therefore, to avoid like this, he doesn't end up gaining anything from it, you make him do two hazahs. Now every time he has to do twice as much hazah as usual, and that way he doesn't benefit, and he doesn't gain anything from having done it. Rav Ashi Yomer Ein Bila Yaza Shtei Hazot. Rav Ashi says a third explanation. We would say according to Rav Eliezer, there's no Bila, and you do two Hazot. Now, Rav Ashi is not, the way we have it in front of us in the Gemara is not very clear what Rav Ashi actually holds. And so Rashi says that the Sforim over here, the manuscripts of his times, which eventually were printed as the Gemara, are wrong. They left out words. So Rashi brings the Girsa as follows. Rav Ashi points out that we're not necessarily talking about a large amount of water that fell in, not necessarily even a shir hazah, like Rosh Lakish said. And not enough for him to be considered that he might benefit from it financially, where therefore we have to count to him, like Rava says. Rav Ashi points out, after all, the Mishnah uses the expression that kosher, meaning a very tiny amount, fell in there. However, Rav Ashi would say that we would say ein bila, like Rava, unlike Rosh Lakish and unlike Rava, we would assume that Rav Eliezer holds ein bila. They don't necessarily mix easily. Therefore, why do you need the two hazahs? Because you don't hazah ein tzrichashir. However, you do have a possibility that the first time you did hazah, it was all plain water. Therefore, you need to do a second hazah, because one way or the other, between the two hazahs, you're for sure going to have at least one molecule of paradrum water. So different than Rava, that's the point Rashi's saying. Rava was saying that the whole reason why we do it is because of a knack. But yesh bila, it's completely mixed. Rav Ashi is saying that no, ein bila, not necessarily that it's evenly mixed. So it could be when you dipped in the ezah one time, you're getting all plain water. But since hazah ein tzrichashir, then it doesn't matter. Between the first and the second time, inevitably you're going to get a molecule of paradrum of water at some point. Even though you're doing two different sprinklings, because hazah ain't tzrichashir, because you don't need to be mitzarech them. As long as one molecule of paradrum of water got on him, then you're good. Okay. So those are the three different explanations of Rav Eliezer's shita. Now, the Gemara says, Nate, do you have a contradiction to the Chum say that, never mind all this, the Chum say the water is fossil, period. So the Chum say the water is fossil, period. Yes. So again, there is the possibility that the Chachamim are saying that this is all only drabban. But whatever it is, the point is that the Chachamim say it's possible. Because they're saying the drabban, we make it possible. So again, the Gemara said it would be possible. The truth is that it's interesting. There's two different ways of looking at it. You know, we've been talking throughout the Perek about Bittul, and you know, there's an important point that Rishonim and Achronim discuss about the mechanics of Bittul. when you have one thing is nisbakel and the other one, do we say that now not only it's bottle, but now it has the quality of the thing that it got mixed into? Or do we say it's bottle in the sense it's not possible or shape or whatever, but it's as if it's not existing. It doesn't become the other thing. So they talk about it, for example, in connection with Hilchot Tzitzis. If you know that Tzitzis has to be the wool for Tzitzis, for Tzitzis thread, has to be spun l'shma. So if there was mixed in there, some thread that wasn't spun l'shma, do we say that it's bottle, and therefore, or do we say that it's bottle, because if it didn't exist, but you still need enough wool that was spun l'shma to make Tzitzis, or do we say that it actually gains the status of as if it was spun l'shma, because bottle in other wool that was spun l'shma. That affects the understanding of our Gemara over here. If we say that it actually takes on the characteristics of the other thing, that would mean over here that plain water actually becomes part of Agrama water on a Daraisa level, and therefore if the Chachamim thing is bottle, it can only be Jirabana. Whereas if we were to say that it doesn't actually gain the status of part of Agrama water, fine, it's bottle, it doesn't necessarily cancel the thing, but nevertheless, it itself is not part of Agrama water, then you could say that it still is Daraisa, because the fact is that given that Hazar's Kutha Shir, then you never know. You dip in the Ezer, you might end up getting some amount, or you're going to get some amount of this non-part Agrama water, which fine, let's say it's bottle Daraisa, but it didn't become part of Agrama water, and therefore, yeah. Zacharonim have a great deal of discussion back and forth as far as this din, as far as it relates to many other areas of halacha. Okay. Fine.
What in the Torah says it to go one way or another?
What do you mean?
Regarding this.
Well, you have Acharonim Lahazit, that you that went Bissel Beroiv, but nevertheless, how is the mechanism of Bissel Beroiv? Is it bottle or does it take on the characteristics of the other? So that's right. So the Torah doesn't spell that out. That's we're left for the acronym. We're left to deduce it from this and from various other Gemaras.
You know,
again, that's the two ways of looking at it. Is it that it's bottle that now it actually becomes part of the water? Because the fact is, it's not a question of, for example, treifus. You know, are you allowed to eat it or not? Even let's say it doesn't actually topple the other water. But the fact is, you need part of the water sprinkled on the person to make him tahor, not plain water. And one way of arguing is this didn't actually become part of the water. That's one way of looking at it is that's how Bissel works. Okay. Anyway, let's draw. Mace, the Gemara says I have a contradiction against the Shlokish's understanding. It's a mechanism of how Bissel might work. It all depends how you look at it. Is it Bissel that it loses its status and gains a new status, or is it just that we ignore it, but nevertheless it's still there? Alright. Mace, the Gemara says I have a contradiction on Rishlok. According to Rabbi Yezer, who says that two hazar is a good, it means that hazar of any amount is mitahar, meaning that he said, because hazar ain't with a shir, because he says hazar does not require a shir, so that contradicts Rish Lakish's understanding, which is that he said hazar is with a shir. So Rabbi is telling us that Rabbi Yezer holds not like that, he holds that it does not need a shir. And therefore, Rebbe continues, therefore, Rabbi Yezer would say, Hazar mech the kosher or mech the posel, that you can have a Hazar where half of it is kosher and half of it is posel. So therefore, in other words, so the reason... It means, in other words, you don't need a shear, he says. So therefore, the reason why you need two is not because you need two of them to combine together to make one full shear, to make one cubic centimeter, 1 milliliter, but rather because he says even if there's still mixed in over there, so the reason is not because you need to be mitzvah two of them together, because according to him even one molecule landing on the person is enough. So that contradicts the Shlokish's understanding. But and here's another question. Now this question is going to be actually on Rav Ashi. It's a bit of an odd expression for the Gemara to use ba'oid when we're asking questions on two different people. So there's some of the Achronim say that what it is the Gemara wants to knock out Rish Lakish, knock out Rav Ashi, and leave Rav. If we can shlug up the void, in other words, being asked in favor of Rav, in favor of Rav, either by Rav himself or by his Talmidim or whatever, if we can disprove Rish Lakish and we can disprove Rav Ashi, then Rav is the only one left standing. So va'oid tanya behed, yeah, and furthermore, we learn explicitly in Braisa. Hanitonin lamasa shinis avum nitonin, or hanitonin lamaila shinis avum nitonin lamasa, the case of our Mishnah, which is why we're bringing this in over here. If you have blood that's supposed to go on the top half of the Mizeach, from a chatas, that was mixed with blood that's supposed to go on the bottom half, from an oilo or shlomim or what have you, Rabbi Eliezer omi yitin lamaila, Rabbi Eliezer says you put the blood on the top half, and continue on the side over here, you have the royanis at the sun mayim. The blood that was supposed to be on the bottom half that's going now on the top half you consider as if it was water. And vasakonim olaloi. And the one that goes on the bottom half then counts for him. Now what do we mean counts for him? The pashtus, we mean it counts as now it counts towards the ola, which was supposed to go on the bottom half. The Iyamit Ein Bila, now you, Rav Ashi, are telling me that Rav Eliezer holds Ein Bila, that not necessarily the liquid mixed evenly, Amai Oloi. So why would you say that it counted? You did some of it on the top, now you're saying you're doing some of it on the bottom, but if you say Ein Bila, what if you have that the one you did on the top was all Ola, and the one you did on the bottom was all Chassas, maybe the blood that was supposed to be on the top went on the bottom, and the blood that was supposed to be on the bottom went on the top. So you have nothing, right? So obviously, fine, but statistically it might be impossible, but nevertheless, if we say Ein Bila, there is that possibility. So obviously, therefore, doesn't that mean that we have to understand, Rabbi Eliezer as saying Yesh Bila? Because that's the only way you can make that work. So that contradicts Rav Ashi's understanding, who said that Rabbi Eliezer is saying you need two sprinklings because of Ein Bila. If you say Ein Bila, then it wouldn't work, and you can't see that both kavanas might be possible, and yet Rabbi Eliezer seems to be implying that both of them are kosher. The answer is, Hochab Mayaskinen, but the answer is that Rav Ashi can answer that no, because what are we talking about over here? There's the case of the two kavanas. Going to Iker Ruba Oyoin. The case is, it's not half and half. You have more blood of Chassas in this basin than you have blood of Oyoin. So therefore, what you do is, you have, let's say, one gallon of oil mixed with 2 gallons of chassas blood. So what do you do? You do at least one gallon on the top, because that way, no matter what, you've done over 1 gallon on the top. Therefore, no matter what, you've gotten some of your. You have 2 gallons of chassas and 1 of oil. So you do at least 1 gallon on the top. So then you're covered, because you do over 1 gallon on the top that way, and that way you're covered. That way you have, right. So what does it mean? So you put on top at least you put on the top more than the amount of the oil of blood that was supposed to be on the bottom. You put more than the amount that was supposed to go on the bottom, and that way, no matter what, you definitely have some of the blood that was supposed to go on the top goes on the top. Okay, good question.
More on the top than was supposed to be on the bottom?
Again, you had 1 gallon that was supposed to go on the bottom from an ola. You have 2 gallons that was supposed to go on the top from a chassas. What you're doing is, what we're saying is, you do 1.1 gallons on the top. That way, no matter what, even if you were to assume that the whole first gallon you took out was from the oila, but now you have another 0.1 gallon, another ounce or whatever, which is definitely from the chassas. So no matter what, you're covered as far as the chassas. Okay, so the question is, the braisa had said, though, that it counts for the bottom one. What?
You put
1.1 on the top, and that way, no matter what, you are covered as far as the chassas. So the question is, what if we were to say Ein Bila, you might not be covered as far as the Ola, and the Braisa said, Hasachtonim Olaloi Katani, the Braisa said that the one on the bottom counts, the Pashtus meaning, as we assumed all the time, that it meant that it counts for the Ola as well. So how does that work? If we say Ein Bila, it might be that entire 1 gallon and more that you did, or whatever, the whole first gallon that you did on top, all came from the Ola, and therefore the Ola is now going to pasuk, and none of it went on the bottom. The answer is L'shem Shirayim. The answer is when we say that it counts for Tachonim, we don't mean that the Ola is going to be kosher. We mean it counts for the Chatas as the pouring of the blood on the Shirayim onto the Yisoy.
Well, that's not enough to make it kosher.
That's enough to make the chafetz kosher. We're not worried about the oila. Fine, the oila may or may not be kosher. If we say ein bila, we can't be sure that the oila was kosher. But at least we can make sure that the chafetz is kosher by doing that. Because you have to put it above the chota sikra, usually that'll be over the soviv as well, so it'll be blocked by the soviv from going all the way down. But even if it does trickle down, it doesn't matter. It's still, but the point still remains. Even if some of it does trickle down, it doesn't matter. If it was placed on the top half, then that still wouldn't work.
The soviv and
the soviv
is one
amma. The chota sikra is one amma below the soviv, yes. That's my point. In other words, if you do blood of chatas on the top half of the mezeach and it starts trickling down the wall, it's going to land onto the soviv and pool over there. Yeah, I guess eventually if you have enough of it, it might say whatever. But not necessarily is it going to. And even if it does, no, that's not going to work as far as the oila. But in other words, what we're saying is that Rav Ashi would have to understand Rav Eliezer as saying that no, we don't mean that both korban, that we have a way of making both korbanos kosher. We mean we have a way of making one of them kosher, the chatas. Fine, Toshma, the Gemara says, fine, I have another braisa. Nothing lamasa v'lenyula. What happens with this mixture of blood if he put it on the bottom half of the mizbeach without asking? So, again, if he had asked, then according to Rabbi Eliezer, we would have told him to put it on the top half first, and according to the Chacham and Gong Mishnah, we would have told him to throw it out. But if he did it first on the bottom half, which would be for an ola, without asking, so then, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yachta V'Yitzim L'Mayla. Rabbi Eliezer says, then you go and do some of it up above. Because again, even though you're supposed to do the above, which is the chatas, before below, which is the oila, but if you did it the other way around, in other words, in general, again, we're going to learn later on, in Perek Kol HaTavir, we're going to talk about the order of precedence of korbanot. Usually, when you have a chatas and an oila, the chatas is offered before the oila. And that means we're talking about no mix-ups, no nothing, just you have one animal for a chatas, one for an oila, you do the avodah of the chatas before you do the avodah of the oila. So we touched on it before, we're going to deal with it in more detail later, yeah. But anyway, the point is that, but nevertheless, the fact is if you did the oila before the chatas, you are yoisa, the korbanos are kosher. It's not the same logic over here, over the other thing. If you did the blood lamasa, which is for the oila, then now, b'diavad, you can go afterwards now and do the blood for the chatas, lamaila. Well, the Chum say you have to spill the whole thing out, right? That's a tonium of...
Just talking about what comes first.
No. If it was talking separate korbanos and no mix-ups or anything, everybody agrees that if you brought the oil before the chatas, you are yoyos. Okay. So all it is because the blood is mixed over here, therefore the Chum and the Chum don't hold it. The Zoyan business, they don't hold that you can see the blood as if it was water, therefore yeah. Okay. So, you go and put more blood up above for the chatas, and what was done on the bottom counts for them. Now, in this case over here, we're talking about that, he did the one on the bottom first. So, we're not talking about shirayim. Here, the pashtus, we're talking about that Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you did on bottom, which counts for the oila, and now you're going to do on top, which counts for the chatas. And that, again, that can only work if yesh bila. Otherwise, if ain bila, there's a possibility that maybe what you did on the bottom was all blood of the chatas, and now what you're doing on top is all blood of the oila, yeah. The answer is Hakanami Beruba El Yonim. Same thing. We can say that the case is that there's more blood of El Yonim, more blood of Chatas, than there was blood of Ola. The Koyoi Lamaila Shir Tachsonim Void. And again, what we're saying is you take and do Lamaila at least the amount that was mixed in from Tachsonim. So again, that way, in other words, like we said in the previous answer, that you're fine in this case. You can't be sure that the Ola was kosher, because what if all the blood of the Ola ended up on top? But at least you'll have the fat that's going to be kosher.
So you think since there's more
since there's more blood of Chassos than Oila.
You don't have to go with
Rabbi Eliezer. Right. Again, this is we're talking within Rabbi Ashi's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer, right? Even if we say Ein Zila, as long as we say that, as long as you did at least the amount of the lesser amount of blood. I'm giving an example, 2 to 1, but yeah, I mean, the same thing would be if it was 1.5 to 1, whatever, same idea. Same thing, you do a little more than the amount from the blood of the oil that was mixed in. Again, the question is, but the bride to use the expression that the tachtonim counts for him, and the answer is again, l'shem shirayim, it means that they count as far as shirayim. So again, no contradiction from this braita to Rabashi. Tashma, nothing on the mile of a lonimah. Come, we'll learn from another braita where it says now the other way around. If he did the blood lamila of this mixture and he didn't ask, because again, according to Rabbi Yezer, it doesn't matter. He should be doing it on top of it. You should be throwing the whole thing out. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, doing it on top first is the right way to do it. Means he didn't ask. He didn't check with the Chachamim first. What should I do in this case? We said in our Mishnah that even the Chachamim who hold Yishapet La'ama, they hold that im le'nimlach v'nosan, if he didn't ask, and he did on the top and he did on the bottom, then he said it's kosher. Because since they only said that, we're only saying it's also midrabanan, so therefore, nevertheless, the korban is still kosher v'diyah, on a daraisa level. So, the braisa says, nosan l'mayla v'nimlach, if you put the blood on the top half, as you would do for a chasas, without asking, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer agree that he should go ahead, that he should go continue and put blood on the bottom half, and both of them count for him, both Karbanas Akasher. Now that can only work if Yesh Bila, because if Ein Bila, then you have the same problem as we were discussing before. The answer is... that's the answer. Hachanami, the Rubel Yahim. Yes, but okay, over here we're the same answer. We're talking about there's more blood of Chassas than there is of Oila. Because Yor Vamayla Shir Tachton Void. But, well, that works, except for the fact that this Braitha uses the expression, Shir Tachton Void. The problem is, Va'elu Va'elu Ola Lekatani. But the Braitha says that both of them count for him. In other words, both Korbanas are kosher. So if yes, Bila, then sure. You have that some blood of one and some of the other went on top. Some of one, some of the other went on bottom. Even though the Chachamim don't hold the Royin, nevertheless, the fact is some blood of Chassas went on top, some blood of Ola went on bottom, and therefore B'dievin is good. But if we say Ein Bila, if we say that Rabbi Eliezer holds Ein Bila, which is what Rav Ashi wants to say, then how does this work?
If there's more than one and the other, even then there's no Bila, it would work.
It would work for the Chassas, it wouldn't work for both of them. I mean, no matter what, you don't seem to have a way that it'll work for both of them.
Why wouldn't it work for the Ola?
Okay, if you have 1 gallon of Ola and 2 gallons of Chassas, and you did 1.1 gallons on the top, if we say Ein Bila, the possibility is, fine, no matter what, you definitely have at least 1/10 of a gallon of Chassas of God over there on the top. So therefore you're good. But what if that 1.1 gallons contained the entire 1 gallon of the Ola, and not a drop of it went on the bottom? Then you have a problem. But the Braitha said, Eilu ve'eilu Ola. So that seems to work only if we say, Yesh Bila. The answer is, Mishatani Eilu ve'eilu Modim Eilu ve'eilu Ola. Yes, but the Braitha doesn't say that both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim agree that both Korbanos count for him. Katani Sefer Asan Rabbanan Damer Yesh Bila. When the Braitha continues and it says that Elu Ve'elu Ololoi, that card is only according to the Rabbanan who hold Yesh Bila, which we established before. Everybody agrees that the Chachamim say Yesh Bila. That's why they said with the part of water, that's no good. So in other words, what the Braitha is saying is if he did it Lamaila without asking, so everybody agrees, go ahead and put Lamasa, but this is how Rav Ashi would understand the Braita. At that point, Rav Eliezer would say that only the Chassid is kosher, the Ola is possible, because Ein Bila. The Chachamim would say that both of them are kosher because Yesh Bila. Not necessarily. We have to understand the Braita as saying that Rav Eliezer would hold Yesh Bila. Okay, well, it's almost my time, so we'll stop over here. I'll mention about we started talking about Baal Tosif. We'll talk about it more. We'll talk about it more in tomorrow's Gemara Beis Hashem. But the Poskim talk about Baal Tosif in connection with a number of areas in Halacha. For example, Tosif mentions in Tosif in Rosh Hashanah brings up the question. We know midrash that you have to hear shofar on Rosh Hashanah. You have to hear teshuvah speakers. Okay, we're not sure what exactly the sounds are, therefore we have 30. But why do we do both Tias Yushev, the ones before Mitzvah, and the ones during Mitzvah? Isn't that a problem of Baal Tosif? You're adding to the Mitzvah. And the answer is, because you're doing it before Mitzvah, and at that point you were Yosef on a Daraisa level, and now later on you're doing the same Kolos during Mitzvah, during Shiva Shmanasra and during Hosef Shmanasra and Mitzvah. Isn't that Baal Tosif? The Tosif says no, Baal Tosif would only be, Baal Tosif is not when you're doing the same Mitzvah over and over again. That's not considered Baal Tosif. That's one parameter of Baal Tosif. If you're doing the same mitzvah over and over again, that's not considered Baal Tosif. So that is how, for example, it's possible to...
It's
not Baal Tosif, correct. Now, what about different tears of tefillin, Rashi and Rebbe's time? So, if you put them on at the same time, as some people do, then what you have, well, we don't. We do them one after the other. But if you do them one after the other, then it's no problem. But if you do, because then even if you say that both of them are fulfilling the mitzvah, then if, like Tosafot said, you're doing the mitzvah one after the other, so it's not a problem. But if you do them both together, then it says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to have in mind that whichever one the halacha is like is the one that you're actually fulfilling the mitzvah with, and the other should just be considered like scraps. So the other ones should just be considered like scraps and decorations. I'll bet it's like the royin of our Mishnah. I'll bet it's like considering the blood like water in our Mishnah, right? You have other parameters also if you do them one after the other, then it's not. But you also have, though, you can also have Baal Tosif if you're doing a mitzvah for more days than you're supposed to. So for example, you have the whole issue of sitting in the sukkah Shmini Atzeres. So in Chutzpah, if we sit in the sukkah Shmini Atzeres because it's sake of the yom. So that's not considered Baal Tosif because we're doing it for the sake of the yom. But if you... Right. So actually, though, you have a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. What happens if a person doesn't have any place else to eat other than a sukkah? So in Eretz Yisrael, he's going to have to be eating in there on Shmini Atzeres. In Chutzpah, he's going to have to be sitting in there on Simchas Torah. What do you do?
So
what it says in Shulchan Aruch is like this. In Eretz Yisrael, what you do is then, before Shmini Atzeres, late in the day, on Hashanah Rabbah, take off some of the crack of the sukkah. That way, you're making it clear that you're not doing Baal Tosif. That's the point. So in Chutzpah, that wouldn't work. In Chutzpah, that's because you still have to sit in there, Shmini Atzeres. Therefore, in Chutzpah, that's instead what you do is, bring into the sukkah kalim that normally are not allowed to be in the sukkah, for example, pots and pans or other degrading kalim like that, and that way, again, you're making it clear that you're not sitting in there as a shame sukkah, but rather you're just... So these are the kinds of details that get into Baal Tosif. We'll talk about more tomorrow, that's the shame.